Welcome to episode 2 of Mama Tales. I am so thankful for all of you who have taken your time to be here. I have also received some amazing feedback from the first episode. It was a little bit nerve-wracking putting it out there. So thank you all. I really, really appreciate it. I've been trying to get this podcast listed on various directories, at least the ones that were shared with me on Instagram, but I'm having a little bit of a challenge, especially with Apple Podcasts. So it's already not that straightforward putting your podcast on there, and I chose the the least perfect time to do this. I mean, I had no idea. So these guys are doing a huge overhaul on their end. There's so many bugs and things to fix. I've been in contact with the support team. They have acknowledged these issues, so I'll just have to keep trying to get this up, because the thing is, once it's up on Apple Podcasts, it's much easier for it to be available on the other platforms. In other news, Mother's Day is coming up. I think the entire month of May should just be Mother's Month. And for me especially, it's really great because it comes right around the time I gave birth to my baby. So she'll be turning one on the 16th of this month. And I just can't, And just to kind of celebrate this beautiful season of her turning one, and May is also the month I became a mother, I think it would also be really great to use this month as a foundation of this podcast. So what I'm planning to do is, in the span of the next 3 episodes, I'll just be talking about my own personal journey into motherhood. So for example, this episode will be focused on my pre-pregnancy and pregnancy journey. Now, a couple of things will intersect here. So there's the idea of having a fulfilling career plus the idea of starting and sustaining a family. When I started this journey, I set out to have it all. I know having it all is like this mythical thing that women are made to believe that, or even unfortunately find out when they're trying to do it, that it can be impossible, or it is impossible. So I think from this story, you will kind of learn about my struggle to try and achieve this, as I also tried to understand this new change that's happening to me. I really enjoy telling this story. I mean, to anyone who'd listen. So this is the perfect platform for me. But I'm not sure if I've ever talked about it in this detail. So I think it will create a beautiful picture. Well, I don't know about beautiful, but it will create a picture that you can use to really understand kind of like my psyche, or the decisions that I made and the choices that I made to be where I am now. So enough of this intro and mumbling, and let's just get right into the juicy story. Oh, juicy. I'm just setting up myself for failure. Let's just get into the story. So we're gonna start from the very, very beginning. I met my husband back in 2011. We had just joined uni. We started out as friends, but quickly into that, I think it must have been maybe a month and a half into meeting each other, we decided to date. Quickly realized that this was for the long haul. So he was my first boyfriend, and I didn't think or imagine I would find another one, or I would want to find another one. So we pretty much realized that this would be for the long haul. So we dated through uni, finished school, and set out to find our individual paths. Each of us got into our careers and then continued checking in until the point where we decided to take the next step and settled on a year to get married. So the year was, I think initially it was 2018, but we stuck to 2019. So we also knew that we would want to start a family right after that. So let's take a breather on that front and just come back to me and my situation at that point. After graduating uni, I tried my hand in a couple of things. I won't get into that right now. But what's most important is that I joined a company and eventually started doing communications and marketing there. Over some time, I think by 2018, towards the last part of 2018, I kind of fell out of love with that career, or rather with that career choice. I think that's the right term to use. And it also didn't help that the culture in the office at that time also started feeling a little bit toxic, and it didn't help my overall feeling of joy with what I did. So I'm a very, my husband calls it mindful, but I don't know if that's the right term, but I'm a person who doesn't excel or want to stay in a situation that I'm either not happy, not content, or feeling useful. So that's kind of the space I was in. And it was quite frustrating because I thought that's what I wanted, because comms and marketing was not anything that I studied in school. So it was all self-taught. So I thought I was following my passion, but something just wasn't working. I had to rethink my journey, my career path, and figure out if this was the right thing for me or not. Especially now, like, it became so crucial because it was no longer just my life, but my partner's life as well, and our future kids. Like, whatever choice I made at that exact moment was going to impact all these guys, all these people. I felt that pressure, especially when we decided on the year to get married. I was just like, I don't know, maybe, because I understood the repercussions of that. So I was just like, I think I really need to figure out what I'd possibly do, because I had my own ideas of especially the kind of family I wanted and my role in that space. I knew that I wanted to be hands-on, fully hands-on. And in this modern day and age, it's really hard for a woman to do that, especially if you need to advance in your own career, you know, create some income, especially in a household, you know, having that quote unquote luxury of staying. Well, it's really not a luxury because it's a lot of work, but you know, just being able to be there 24/7 for your family can get a little bit straining. And I knew that's not what I wanted. So I had to come up with something and something real quick so that I can create a life or a system that will allow me to have the life I want. That is, be there full time for my people. So that's when the initial idea for Ohiki came in. So for those who don't know, I started Ohiki. So Ohiki means wedding in my mother tongue. The driving force of this was that I would learn and document as much as I could during my wedding planning process and then create this thing, which is Ohiki, to help others do so when the time reached. It initially started with the idea of, like, you know, create a website, have some content out there. I am a content creator, so it shouldn't be that hard, right? Put up some content out there, the things that I've learned, tips that can be shared, and then this platform can continue growing into so many things. Like, yo, I have so many ideas for this thing. This idea, as grand as it is, when executed well enough, I thought would be able to sustain me both financially, you know, quench my career needs or professional needs, and also give me the flexibility to be there for my future babies. I think I bought a domain for it, got a template of a Squarespace to build this site, and just sat on it for a while there as I tried to figure out how I'm going to do it. So I had to have this conversation a lot with my partner, because, you know, me deciding, because I knew what would have to happen is that I would have to resign my job, and that would mean for a good long time there he would be the sole breadwinner. So here I am, we've just decided to get married, and I'll be like, okay, so no job, no nothing. Take care of me, please. It was such a hard thing, because I remember the first time we had that convo, I still hadn't figured out what I would do. I could see that he was trying to crunch those numbers in his head, especially like with this big wedding coming up. And I knew that that was a tough sell, so I kind of just put it back in my head until I would find a time to bring it up again. But to my surprise, he's the one who brought it up a couple of months later, because he noticed that I was severely unhappy at my job and it was just seeping into everything. So he came up to me and was like, did you think of something? I'm like, yes, I think I have a fledgling of an idea. Told him about Ohiki. He 100% supported me. He's just like, you know, I don't know if it will work or if it will not, but I see how important it is for you to figure this out and to create something, and the kind of quote-unquote sacrifice that you'll be making. Actually, it is a sacrifice that you'll be making for the well-being of the family overall. So I mean, if it means us tightening our belts, that's what we'll do. So that gave me a little bit of encouragement and confidence to hand in my resignation letter with very little steel ironed out. I sat down with my bosses, with my peers, and set my resignation date for August 2019. And that would be also the month I would be getting married. So after my wedding, I just wasn't coming back to the office. So wedding came. It was such a beautiful ceremony. We went for the honeymoon and that was so relaxing and exactly what we needed, because coming out of wedding planning, especially for a wedding that that turned out to have over 1,000 guests, it got a little bit crazy. So really, really loved the honeymoon. So immediately we come back, we go house hunting because we'd already set out a notice for our previous place and we needed to find a place that would be closer to his workplace. And I just say this because so we found a house in under a week, which is great. We moved in on a Friday and settled in into a new life. This is pretty much where things get a little bit interesting, because literally the second day we moved into a house, we found out I was pregnant. Let me tell you, there's nothing that tells you you're starting a new life than just got married, moved into a new house, moved in and out of new jobs, and now you're pregnant. All of this happened to me in a span of like a week. I just didn't know. So how we found out is I had been suffering from what I thought were like intense cramps. And in my mind, I think I woke up on Saturday morning and thought that my uterus is breaking apart. I must have aggravated it from all those that heavy lifting and overworking myself as we, you know, moving from like a fifth floor house to a, it was so intense. I was just like, I broke something. My body is in shambles and I'm going to pay for it. The other thing that I mean, pregnancy was the farthest thing from my mind because my period wasn't late. It was actually supposed to come on that Saturday. I just thought something was horribly wrong. So what I did was, my husband was in his office in the house trying to catch up on some work. So I go there and I told him that I need to go to the hospital. And I could see the look of dread in his face, because we are very stubborn individuals who literally probably have to be dragged to the hospital. But here I am bringing myself, you know, signing myself up and be like, hey, babe, this one, I don't know what's going on, but we need to go to hospital. So we prepare ourselves. A few minutes to 6 a.m., we're on our way to Hosi. So we got there, I get registered, I get into triage, and then they ask me if I could be pregnant. Look at this chick, I'm like, I mean, yeah, it could be a possibility, but my periods aren't late, supposed to come in today. So I'm a person who has very, 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 very regular periods. So I was just like, when they say they're coming today, they're coming today. So we leave triage, go to the doc, tell him everything that's going on, and he just sends us to do some tests. So there's an ultrasound, there's some blood work, and I'm okay, that's fine. We do the tests. As usual, hospitals take forever. So by the time we're done with our tests, it's morning. Okay, I mean, it was morning this entire time, but it's like, I think 8 a.m. I'm hungry, so we're like, we just grab our results before we go back to the other doctor, or the doctor who sent us. Let's just go catch up on some breakfast. So we walk on to Java to have some breakfast. Someone calls Murothi, so he leaves. I kiherehere mo, but rather, you know, curiosity beat me. And I open up my results. First of all, I start with the thing that I think I'll be able to see, which is the ultrasound. So I'm looking at it. Definitely, I do not understand those images. It's just a blurry mess. But I start reading the summary and they say they can see a cyst on my, I think it was my left ovary. And they termed it as a complex cyst. And with its medical name there, there was no mention of pregnancy or whatever. Oh, I panic, because that's the last thing I ever want to say. I don't want to see, first of all, a cyst, no, but complex? Like, what are you talking about? Like this, like, what is a complex cyst? So I grab my phone and I Google this thing, and I don't know why I did that. WebMD is not your friend. So I Google this and all sorts of things come up. Everything from like cancer, infertility. So my heart just immediately sinks. I look at my blood work, I understand nothing, everything looks normal, so I just put that aside. Marithi comes back to the table and he can see my face and he's like, did you open the results? I'm like, yeah. I give him the paper to read and he does, and he just immediately starts cussing. And he doesn't want to do that, at least not just out of the blue like that. So I'm trying to calm him down, and then I can just see, I don't know what he was thinking about at that moment, but I can see him just panicking a little bit. I don't even think we finished our breakfast at this point. So I'm just like, let's just go back to Hosi and hear our fate. All that time as we walk back, I'm just like, oh, this is it. This is the end. It was so great to think about life. But I guess it's not in the cards for me. So we go back to the hospital. The doc we had seen before has already left. His shift is over, so we see somebody else. I give her the results, tells us to wait outside, so we happily do so. And then as you're waiting outside, I don't know what it is. I mean, it's so early in the morning, but there's so many kids around. And then there's this heavily pregnant woman who was just, you know, walking around, leaning on her husband. And I was just like, yo, that will, you know, never be me. So that's what we were talking with Mother Ruthy about, just like, we will probably never get that chance. It was just really, really sad. So the doc comes out, which was odd. I expected her to call us in. And she said, let me go get a specialist for this. I'm like, specialist? Why? Why do I need a specialist? I don't think I'm that badly off. Oh, so that just made things worse. Anyway, the specialist comes in, calls us into the office again, and just starts going through the results. So the first thing she does is, you know, explain what the cyst is. And she's just like, oh, it's just one of those cysts that could be a tooth. I'm like, what? Or an eyeball or a hairball. So I'm just a little bit saddened by this. And then in there, as she's looking at our blood, or rather my blood work, she says something in the lines of, oh yeah, and you could be pregnant because of these high levels of HCG. And then she just goes on and she moves on right past that. I remember just looking at Maruthi. I'm like, did you hear what she said? Did she say pregnant? Right? And I kid you not, everything that woman said after that entered one ear, left the other. I have no idea or no clue what she was saying. But I was just like, you know, pregnant just kept replaying in my mind. Pregnant, pregnant, pregnant. So we leave. She prescribes us some folic acid, tells us to come back after 2 weeks so that we can test and confirm with an ultrasound. I'm like, what? So all of a sudden we entered there waiting for some terrible news, and then we came out with possibly good news. We didn't want to celebrate just yet because I wasn't too sure about it. Also, it happened too quick. I know we said we wanted to start a family immediately after, but in our minds we were thinking like January 2020, not September 2019. So that was a thing. So I remember when you're waiting at the pharmacy for the stuff. So all of a sudden it just changed from, oh, are we having a baby? When will the baby be born? When, you know, just excitement. Are we telling anyone? No, we can't tell anyone. Oh, what's the procedure? What's what? Anyway, so that's pretty much how we found out I was pregnant. And, you know, I told someone that story and they asked me, why didn't you just take a pregnancy test, an at-home pregnancy test, like when you came back? Because believe me, I waited for 2 weeks to go and confirm that I was pregnant. It never hit me that I could just get a test. Anyway, the pain continued for another like 2 days. And you know the thing is, so in my mind I was just like, this has to be implantation, but I've never had anyone complain about these cramps. Adi, I started shukuing myself, or rather I started doubting my own pain tolerance, because I'm like, why is it intense? Because what would happen is like around 3 a.m. for 3 continuous nights, I would wake up with like so much pain that I had to go to the loo and vomit out saliva. That's the only time I would find relief, and just walking, trying to relieve that pain. 2 weeks later, we go get confirmed, you're pregnant. And thus begins my first trimester. Thinking back at the pregnancy, physically, I was okay. For that first trimester, I only had a bit of nausea and extreme fatigue. However, I struggled mentally. So here I am, just got married. I had a plan, and clearly that plan either had to be fast-tracked or I had to rethink it. So I started second guessing my decision to leave steady employment, because now immediately, like right now, I started thinking about like the benefits. I started thinking about insurance. I mean, definitely I was covered under my husband's, but I was like, you know, it would have been great to just have my own. The other thing is that I felt like I hadn't had the time to figure stuff out. In a few months, the baby would be here, and that wasn't ideal. I thought I'd buy myself a bit more time. Also, I was extremely tired all day. Like, I would wake up tired. And so I didn't have the energy to do anything, let alone the motivation to do it. Honestly, I remember I saw a colleague of mine when I was just like in the middle of that first trimester, and she'd just given birth, and I was like, how are you coming to work with this fatigue? Because it doesn't make any sense. It was the worst kind of fatigue I'd ever really felt. The other thing that I struggled with was just like that tough transition from working in an office every day to working from home. So the first week is okay, you're good, you're cheaper, you're great. The second week, things start, you know, going downhill. And then by week four, you're in a complete dump. And the only time I saw this again, at least with somebody else, was my husband during the pandemic, because now he couldn't go into the office. And I saw that this was actually something that would happen to everyone. But at least during the pandemic, it was everyone going through it. For me, I was going through it alone, and I didn't have the words to explain why I was so down, or why everything felt so bad. Because I felt like I was alone, and I was full of anxiety from just staying in the house alone, talking to no one. In my mind, even doing nothing. So I would just sit on one spot on the couch, and legit, I'd just be there the entire day, let alone like the moments where I go to the washroom or go get some food. I would just stay in the same exact spot. So yeah, that first trimester was a little bit hard. It was probably the hardest point. Well, no, yeah, the fourth trimester was the hardest one. But those two in comparison might as well be the same thing. But luckily, time moves on, and I got in my second trimester. Things kind of mellowed out. I found the light again, which was great. I think the most powerful thing, or rather the turning point that I got, was at some point when I was just in my lowest of lows, I told my husband that we should take a trip. So I'd always wanted to go to Kitengela Hot Glass. We got in the car and drove out there. And the reason I wanted to go there was because I wanted to experience creating. Being there and watching these glassmakers create beautiful pieces brought back the joy that I felt when I create something. Because there are days, I remember way back in 2015, I was going through grief from my father dying quite unexpectedly and not knowing what I wanted to do with my life. So I started doing DIY deco stuff. So I'd build things from my hands. I even got blisters from hammering and injured myself with nails and things like that. But I received so much. I think it was even felt very therapeutic from creating things like that. And then even earlier in my career, I had started like creating content. I was dabbling into photography. I went into videos. So I would create videos for YouTube, which was really great, right? Until I thought I had to get a real job. life. So I think going to Kitengela Hot Glass reminded me of that, and that I should find my way back to it. I just wasn't sure exactly how to do it then, but I put all my might back into Ohiki. Finally, my body was feeling fine. I was like, let's just get back into Ohiki. I launched it. It always felt like it was a little bit of a stretch for me. Like creating each piece of content felt like I was pushing myself a little bit more. It didn't come easy to me, which was odd. A lot of things kind of tend to feel a little bit more natural. But I hung on in there because I said this was something that I set out to do, and I'm just going to give it my all. Although some self-doubt started sinking in. I lost confidence in myself and my ability to build anything because it just didn't feel right. So what I did, the other thing, so I thought that I needed to get a job. Because also I started feeling a little bit guilty, and that was just on me. So I felt like it wasn't fair to leave my husband at the sole breadwinner. I mean, he wasn't complaining about it, but I just felt like I had to do something. So I started looking for a remote job. That way I convinced myself I'd still be working and I'd still be there for the little ones. It was hard at first to get a job, and I got an interview for one role. Everything went well. The company was based out of South Africa, but it was fully remote. So it felt like it would work really well for me. But I could see that the fact that I was going to be delivering a baby in a few months would bring an issue. And in as much as the role was fully remote, they would need, when you just onboarded, for you to go to SA for a few weeks. So you see, that would have been a little bit tricky because my baby, by that time, if I was to be accepted, would be around maybe 2 months, 3 months. I was trying to convince them, and mostly, most importantly, myself, that everything would just work out. You know, we'll have help in the house. I'm sure I can travel for like a week or two without the baby. But you know, the sad thing is, with all that self-doubt, I was very ready. I mean, I was afraid, and I was willing to let go of the idea that I was trying to work towards and kind of like conform to what I think I needed, which wasn't smart. And it's great. So what happened is that I didn't get the job. It was great because I also wasn't sad about it. I think that's when I must have been like when I was like six months. So I decided to just focus on me and the baby coming. That's when I like dove right into everything around this baby. So the kind of parenting style we were going to do, everything around preparing for birth, trying to figure out what I can possibly do for my baby that first year of her life. Like, I was going to be prepared. I was armed and ready with all these resources, and I really took time to internalize them. So I knew that I was not also going to figure everything out, as at least professionally, and I just learned to be okay with it. I was like, you know what, everything has its time. My time right now is to bring this human into this earth, and that's all I'll focus on. Like, at least I have the privilege to do so without having to chase anything else. So let me just take that time and enjoy this process. So that's what I did. I took up yoga. I mean, I started doing it a little bit in the second trimester, so I continued on with it at least almost daily, and doing walks to just keep my mind and body in check. At 33 weeks, we started going for birth class. So I became obsessed with trying to know everything that I had to know to prepare for labor. I mean, I was very, very terrified of labor, to be quite honest. And I was very, very jealous of my friends, especially one friend who had just given birth before me. So I was just like, is that way I can just skip that? But let me tell you, when I found out I was pregnant, I had no idea, like none whatsoever, that I would be giving birth during a pandemic. That reality hit me like a bag of, like a wrecking ball. Yeah, it hit me like a wrecking ball. It was so intense, at least that fear of the pandemic, that even the fear that I had of labor was insignificant. Because all of a sudden, my thought process went to, how do I protect my newborn baby from this thing, right? So I felt very, very, very guilty for bringing her into a sick world. Like, couldn't I have just waited a year, or couldn't she have come a year earlier? I don't know. I don't know what the perfect scenario was in my head, but I felt very, very guilty for bringing her into this fear-driven pandemic world. Now there was this lockdown. I remember the curfew was starting at, because it was just when the first lockdown came in. So there's a 7 p.m. curfew, and I'm just like, what happens when I go into labor at night? And I'm a stickler for rules. Like, yo, me, I don't know if it's goody two shoes, but I just don't like being on the wrong side of rules. It made me a little bit anxious, so much so that we actually walked up to our nearest police station and asked what would happen if I went into labor. And this policewoman just looked at me, she's like, no one will stop you, sis. You can just go right ahead into hospital. I remember when the first case was kind of announced. So I was in Carrefour. So I'd just gone to do our weekly shopping. So I tended to do those during the weekday at a time where I thought it wouldn't be too crazy. So I was just there doing my normal shopping. And then I enter the super. I'm like, hi, there are so many people here today. But okay, it's fine. Let me just do it quickly. Maybe this time I can use the priority line, because I never really used it. So I was like, this time I'll probably use it and figure out how it works. So I remember grabbing my things, but everyone is just like filling their trolleys up. So I call Morosa to just tell him how crazy things are. And he's like, yeah, that's because like an hour ago, they confirmed the first case of COVID. So I had to like do this. I was already tired. So I was just like, do I stay in longer to stockpile with just two people? It would be fine. Whatever it is that I plan to buy, let me just buy and get out of here before this place just gets intense. So I go up. The lines have already gotten crazy. People even have like 2-3 trolleys. So I just go out to the priority line. But I didn't know how to use it. I didn't know that you just walk up to the very front. So I just stand behind. I think there are just maybe 2 people in front of me. I'm like, ah, that's not bad. Open up like a Lucozid, because I used to have Lucozid around me all the time, because I was prone to fainting. I actually did one time and it wasn't pretty. So just have my Lucozid, put on some music and just start walking around, because I also could not stand in one spot. I think this time, I know, I was quite heavily pregnant. So I didn't have that energy to just sit in one position. So I walk around. And you know, some ladies come behind me and I can hear them talking about like, I don't need to be on that. I don't need to be standing there, if you should go to the front. But then I'm like, I remember telling them, hey, yo, today people seem like they have so many emotions. I don't want to, you know, someone to put it, to take it out on me, right? So I'm very, very comfortable still, just waiting for my turn. But the attendants come, they see me, and they pull me out of the line and move me to the front. I remember this dude, he had like, I want to say like 20 packets of dengu. I don't know if that guy has ever finished those dengus. So he just looks at me, because he was the next one in line. And he's just like, Madam, where do you panga line? Ah, and I could feel like my heart drop. I'm like, sir, I've been behind there. I think what I told him was just like, no, if you looked very well, I was back there. And then the cashier is just like, yeah, but this line is theirs anyway. So what actually happened is, I didn't know this as I was unloading my trolley, is that like another 3 women came behind me, and they were also very pregnant, and this guy's actually even had like proper trolleys. So this guy is like visually mad. And then I'm just like, let me finish my stuff. So he starts to tying. I was like, oh, you guys should, you know, distribute these pregnant women across all the other lines. Like we are baggage. Just distribute them across this other line. And I just had to be reminded, but sir, you're the one who chose this line. So you'll have to go with the rules here. And in my mind, I was just like, sir, if this was your wife, is this what you'd be saying, you know, or your daughter? So I mean, definitely some empathy is needed. But yeah, so that was the first and last time I ever used that priority line. So here we were, pandemic has set in, trying to understand how that will affect my birthing experience. I quickly realized that I won't have, I mean, it's not like I was planning on having a lot of people in the labor room, but yeah, that would not be happening. I didn't know what the procedure will be to take care of us when in the hospital, especially a hospital that also carried guys that had COVID. There was just a lot happening in my head. You know, when you realize you can't change anything, you just hope for the very best. That's what I did. I just hoped for the very best. One thing at a time, I just had to give birth to this baby. And I think that's where I'll stop this story. At least we'll pick it up from there next time. But just to give some highlights, because I know I didn't get too into the physical part of pregnancy, but some of the highlights for me were, like, for one thing, I was not expecting the sheer thirst of that first trimester. Like, that caught me off guard. Like, I was constantly thirsty. So, yo, that, and then, you know, that also translated to many trips to the loo. The other thing that I completely loved was her kicking. Like, I'd even, if anyone asked me, like, I'd just put their hand on my tummy when she's kicking. So those were me and her moments, and I would love them, every single bit of them. I miss them until now. The other thing that is crazy, because I still feel it this way, is that I feel like I had a very different relationship with the baby that was in my tummy than the one who came out. I feel like I had to learn her again and say goodbye to the one that was in my tummy. I don't know if that makes any sense. Those guys who gave given birth, tell me that if you felt that kind of distinction, or it's just me and my weird self. So next time, I think we'll pick up this story from here. I'll be talking about like the frame of mind that I was in right at the height of the pandemic and the lockdown, and, you know, trying to see how I'm bringing this child here. And then I'll also talk about how learning that a birth plan is just a fancy piece of paper or idea. And I even wrote it down. And then, you know, we also talk about me trusting my body or having to trust even the people around me to bring my baby to me. So yeah, so that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Please let me know if you did, or any feedback really that you have about this pod. Please let me know. Mostly still the main form of communication is my Insta until I find a better way of doing this. So you can find me on Instagram at Sally Mogore. I'll leave my details at the description of this episode. I've received a lot of interest from moms who want to be on the pod. Huge reminder again for anyone who wants to take part in this podcast, let me know, hit me up on my DMs or on WhatsApp. I am very excited to start recording some of these stories. I'll be doing a lot of the recording remotely. Feel free, just let me know and then we'll set up a time and date and record. That's where I'm going to end this podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Please share it if you feel like you want to, and I will catch you guys later in the next episode in 2 weeks. Bye.